about.
You got to put it in the
There's nothing more tiring than waiting for something to happen.
Oh, God, is it beginning?
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. Then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And now,
I've just been nailed.
Super cool and sexy. Super sexy cool.
Our feature presentation.
That is super sexy cool, right?
Yeah.
No. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday morning.
To answer your question, Lisa, how was the Adam Carolla podcast last night? Here's the thing, is you talk about every 10 minutes when you're in a conversation with Adam.
Oh, okay.
It makes it real easy
on
us.
So it's very easy.
Yeah, I mean, really. He just talks and talks and talks, and then we go, and? And then he just continues.
He is not a man with very little to say, I'll tell you that. But the upside is that whatever he's talking about is way more interesting than anything we could say anyway, so mm-hmm. Still kind of fun to hear his stories. So,
went there and heard his story.
Honestly, it was basically we were just part of the audience.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. We were just sitting closer to Adam than everybody else in the audience. Other than there was no difference other than that. But yeah, it's about 90% Ace and about 10% Kevin and Bean.
Oh, that's funny.
But he was funny. He was great.
Excellent.
Yeah. He told some very funny stories about the old days, some things I had not heard or didn't remember. So definitely check out the podcast later on today when it goes up.
Okay.
It is Thursday morning here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Here's a bizarre story. This is a man in Oregon whose name is Vincent Burrows, Fall Creek, Oregon. He says that he was contacted by a female IRS agent in August of 2011 telling him that he was going to be audited. We've all been there, haven't we?
Yep.
Said he had never met the woman before, didn't know anything about her. But she called and said she was audited, and then she started texting him saying that she wanted to come out and give him massages to help him relax during the audit.
What?
Over the next 2 months, he alleges that she sent him flirtatious messages, offering to give massages, asking to meet, and then started sending racy photos of herself to his cell phone. She said, the man, Abrahamson, said that she knew more about me than my mother knew about me and was threatening to expose my personal information if I did not play along with her.
So she really was with the IRS?
Oh, yeah, she really was.
I would have questioned that right at the beginning if she starts saying, I'm going to give you a massage. I go, you're not with the IRS.
But
then.
He's never met her.
Before that, right. It's not somebody he knew. I mean, he got a call out of the blue saying, hey, I'm from the IRS and you're being audited, which is a variation on we're from the government, we're here to help you.
Right.
In the lawsuit, he claims that she came to his home wearing provocative clothing. Quote, next thing I know, she's at my gate honking. I open up my gate. She came into the property dressed exactly like what she was wearing when she had texted me. She said that, look, she had the option. She could impose no penalty or a 40% penalty, and that if I would give her what she wanted, he would give me she would give me what I wanted.
Well, sounds sexy.
So in other words, yeah, I can make this audit go away without penalty.
I don't get that IRS agent?
Is this crazy?
Yes.
Is he hot? What's the deal?
I don't see a picture of either one of them. So he had sex with the woman in his home that night, but then filed a lawsuit saying that he had felt sexually harassed and intimidated.
Meaning he had to because of the money?
Yeah, he had to because she was threatening to expose personal information and you know, she's from the government and I'm sure he's going to argue that he, you know, thought he had to play along or whatever.
Right.
You know, because the fear is they put you in jail or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But what a crazy, crazy story. I mean, I don't know if this is the kind of tax reform the president had in mind, but I'm not against it. I'm not against at least looking into
either. The dude that did my tax returns, he didn't offer that.
Not even a massage from that guy.
Come on.
Right? So anyway, he's seeking restitution from the U.S. government for the IRS's part in employing the woman and not properly enforcing their rules involving the Privacy Act.
So that's an interesting case in Oregon that we'll definitely have to keep an eye on.
He's whiny, and that's interesting.
Dude had sex and is going to get paid.
Yeah.
Right.
How about that?
Good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Honestly, I cannot recommend this to anyone.
I can. We have a brand new internet roundup.
Oh, why didn't you say so?
Always fun.
Okay.
Jonesy's going to visit.
Jonesy for real.
The real Jonesy. He's co-hosting Brand X with Russell Brand. Can you think of a weirder partnership?
That is going to be interesting. When is that? That hasn't started yet,
I'm not
right?
sure when that is.
I want to see that.
He's also been on Californication. So we're going to talk
He's funny, by the way. He's a funny dude.
He is a funny dude.
I like him.
I do, too.
I don't know why you're saying all those hateful things about him. I like him. He's a good dude.
New Citizen of the Day coming up today. We're going to talk to waiters and waitresses and give them a chance to vent on what a-hole people do when they come into a restaurant.
Oh, they get all kinds.
Because every time I go out to eat, I just think to myself, I could not do that job.
No.
I would be fired on the first day because I would tell some people to keep their kids from running around the restaurant or something. And I'm not supposed to do that. And then there'd be a complaint and I'd be fired.
Every time I went to work and did that, I told myself, I cannot do this job.
Jesse Hyman is going to be on the program today. He's the dude that made out with Bar Raffaelli for the GoDaddy commercial.
Oh, yeah.
How old do you think he is?
Nice.
35.
No. Really?
35.
He looks about 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If. Yeah. At first, I thought he was like 14, but 35.
Oh, my gosh.
And we also have your tickets for the Muse Grammy pre-party. That's coming up today as well. We'll give you the chance to win those in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Thursday. Ralph, I'm so glad you're here. I am just Honey Boo Boo's mom, June. Did you see her yesterday? She's lost 115 pounds since the last time we saw her on TV.
What?
Now, how is that even possible with as much as they have cameras on that family that she could lose that much weight that fast?
Surgery?
In between seasons, I guess.
She says she didn't have any surgery. She didn't diet or go to the gym.
Oh, come on.
Well, please.
What, it just fell off her?
It fell off because it didn't like her?
I have no idea. She says she's blonde now. She's lost 115 pounds. She says they've been on the go. The family's been busy. I mean, that's a third. That's over a third of her body weight.
No, the pigs have been nibbling at her while she sleeps.
They're at the house. You can't be living your life normally and drop over 100 pounds.
That Beer does can. Seem
yeah.
Watch, it's going to happen.
That does seem awfully extreme. Is this a scandal in the making? Is there some surgery she's not admitting to? Because there's no other possible explanation in the few. Look, she just did a special for Christmas, for God's sakes. That's only 6 weeks ago. The hell's going on here?
So it has to be surgery.
Well, she better get herself to a doctor if she hasn't done anything to lose that weight.
Yeah.
It means she has cancer or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's the thing where your body parts fall off? Is it leprosy?
Leprosy, yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe that's what she's got there, too.
Tapeworm or something.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, just crazy. I can't wait to see the new svelte June.
Oh, me too.
Unveiled for us. I bet she's going to be hot.
Yeah, give me a box of tissues.
Mm.
Oh, whoa.
Let's go.
No, come on.
No, sir.
Svelte June.
Svelte June. Honey Boo Boo's got to weigh more than her by now. All right, Ralph is here with all the other showbiz beat now here on the Kevin DeBee Show.
Tragic, tragic news yesterday. Stuart Freeborn passed away.
Oh, Stuart.
Kevin, of course, you know Stuart Freeborn from?
Man, from just about everything.
No, not really. He's pretty much
a lot of great albums.
Nope, he was not a musician.
Really good TV shows.
It was not on television.
He was a hell of a dancer, though, wasn't he? That guy, he could move like anybody's business.
I've watched 10 of his movies, I know that.
No, you didn't.
He won the Australian Open like 5 years in a row,
that's
right?
Not correct.
Oh. Not the same
He was
guy?
A legend.
Hold on.
Oh, what a chef that guy was.
I wasn't a chef.
Second or third man on the moon?
No. He was a legend in special effects and in makeup. He was the makeup artist and special effects genius behind Yoda. He created Yoda. Yay!
No kidding.
And Chewbacca. He designed Chewbacca.
Oh, how hard is that?
It's hard.
Yoda is much more impressive.
You don't know anything. Passed away at 98 yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. He was a pioneer in movie makeup and had been already a legend when George Lucas tapped him and asked him if he would work on a little project he had called Star Wars. First he came up with Chewbacca and then they went back to him again to design the Yoda look. And then, of course, from his models, from his work, Frank Oz went and made a Muppet out of it and stuff. But it was He was one of a kind, and everyone who works with him said he had boundless energy and amazing craftsmanship. He did create creatures that will live on for generations, so his work will definitely live on beyond it. But 98, pretty good run.
No kidding.
Sadly, Stuart Freeborn is dead, and Kim Kardashian lives. She's flapping her yap again this week about how, I don't want to be married to Chris Humphries when I have a baby, she says.
Write a check.
So now she is upping the ante on her side of this legal battle. She has filed a motion requesting either a trial date be set as soon as possible or for a judge to grant her a divorce not reliant upon the financial disagreements that are still pending between herself and Chris Humphries, who she did marry for 72 days back in 2011. So we'll see. Maybe they'll just rush it into the courts. That'd be the best case scenario.
That would be.
Because
I really want this to go to court, and I really think he has a legitimate claim for fraud. I really do.
I do, too. I think it's BS because she was saying that this divorce being strung out is threatening the life of her unborn child.
What?
All the stress. All the stress, Kevin.
Oh,
all
F her.
The stress that she's going under is threatening the life of her unborn child.
Then admit that it was fraud, pay the man, and move on.
How about jetting all over to Paris and back and forth and New York and spending all the time on airplanes and running through airports? Is that stress causing any damage to your unborn child?
No. Actually makes it healthier.
Porn star Kim Kardashian?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of numbers we're talking about here, but it seems like whatever Chris Humphries wants to go away, she could make in a weekend.
I really think he wants the
fraud?
The annulment.
Yeah.
More than anything else. He wants an annulment. He doesn't want her money. He doesn't want a bigger check. He doesn't want a divorce. He wants an annulment because he thinks the whole marriage was BS. And she won't give that to him because that'll make her look like the fraud that she is.
Right.
So I'm sure she's more than willing to write a check, but she will not give him what he wants, which is the annulment. Humphrey's attorney filed a motion yesterday trying to block her request, saying that she was using her pregnancy as an excuse to try to rush the case into court before they had all their ducks in a row. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. More legal news. You may have heard by now that the district attorney of Los Angeles is claiming that Chris Brown never completed his 180 hours of community service that he was sentenced to after the Rihanna incident.
No kidding.
Yeah. The DA claims no human has ever witnessed Chris performing any community service.
Any?
Any. So
they said do 180 hours, and he said, all right, and then just did nothing?
Well, they think he got the documents signed off on. He thinks somebody just pushed it through, and they can't find any evidence they actually ever did the community service. Mm. So now his attorney is firing back, saying that, in fact, he did, and he's trying to get witnesses to say, in fact, that he was there seen cleaning up police stables and the like. So
jail.
What I say, jail.
It just seems like, I mean, this was such a sloppy cover-up, too, because, you know, they have him picking up trash on one block of a city street in Richmond, Virginia for 8 hours, for
right.
instance. I mean, it's like they didn't even make the effort to make it look convincing.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow.
And Ron Jeremy's up and talking.
Great.
It's yeah. a miracle.
It really is. He talked to TMZ Live yesterday, and he spoke to them from Cedars-Sinai. Cracked a few jokes, as Ron does. I bet they were bad and corny.
Sure.
But he said that he was feeling better. He even described how he'd direct a porn scene in his new hospital room. He's already got ideas, he said.
He's back.
The aneurysm apparently was caused by his weight, which has always been, not always, but recently been very high, and his high blood pressure. That's what caused the bulging aneurysm. And if he had waited any longer to see the doctor than he did, the doctors say he would be dead. So it's kind of amazing that he's alive. Ron said, by the way, hospital employees keep coming by asking for his autograph. So apparently he's got some fans over there at Cedars-Sinai. Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Look, we know Ron.
I want the hot nurse to come in. I want the hot nurse to come in.
Exactly. He's checking back. Every nurse that comes in, he's looking up and down.
Carrying the sponge bath. Where do they start with the sponge bath? You know,
where do they...
A friend you told us once. Yeah. Cannot repeat that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. James Spader is 53 years old today. Garth Brooks turns 51. Eddie Izzard, one of our favorites. Legendary comedian. He is 51 years old. Chris Rock turns 48. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit is 38. Did I say Chris Rock is 48 or 38?
Don't know.
Chris Rock's 48.
48.
Yeah. Wes Borland is 38. Ashton Kutcher celebrates his 35th birthday today. Tina Majorino from Grey's Anatomy and Napoleon Dynamite, she is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, listen, we're going to open up the phones right now at 1-800-520-1067. We want you to be joining us tomorrow night at the pre-Grammy party with the band Muse. Kevin, you just saw Muse at Staples Center. You saw him in front of 20,000 people. Now people are going to see him and be a part of an audience of like 100.
It's like the size of a closet.
Yeah, it's so insane.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Of course, the Grammys air this Sunday night on CBS. We've been giving you tickets every morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. And today, we're really going to need a big-time Muse fan because it's time for a Mother Effin' Montage. We're going to need a montage. It's been a long time since we've done this, and partly because they're almost impossible to win. But isn't it crazy that somebody will listen to the next 3 seconds of audio we play and be able to come up with 5 separate Muse titles in order?
I don't think we've ever not had a winner.
No,
with
the
montage.
I think you're right.
And
I
guarantee
right.
I would not win this contest.
No, you could put me in Guantanamo for 8 years with this montage, and I wouldn't be able to figure out what they are. So listen very carefully. 5 Muse songs, big songs that you've heard here on K-Rock over the years. We just need the titles in order, and you'll be the one going to the show. Listen very carefully. We'll play it for you a couple times right here.
There you go.
That was 5 songs.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
That was 5 songs.
It was not.
It was.
No.
It was 5 songs.
It was not.
Play it for you one more time, right. And then call and give us. They have to be in the correct order. That's not terrible, though.
I recognize some of those.
Those are pretty big hits.
Here's the number, 1-800-520-1067. First person through to name all 5 Muse songs in order. You win. You're going tomorrow night from the world famous kid. Coming up next, we'll find out what happens when you flip off and say F you to a judge. That may not go well. Plus, we'll talk to the actor who was making out with Kevin's girlfriend, Bar Raffaelli, in the Super Bowl commercial for GoDaddy. What has that guy's life been like since that thing aired on Sunday?
Did you see the uncensored one with the tongue?
A lot of tongue.
I do not want to go there after him, but I would.
First, though, we want to hook you up with tickets for the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with one of our faves, Muse, tomorrow night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. All you have to do is crack the mother effing montage. We're gonna need a montage.
All right, so we played the montage, and we said that I wouldn't be able to get it, and B wouldn't be able to get it.
Certainly not.
And then Michael called. Michael, hello?
Hello?
See, this is the kind of thing that really drives us crazy. Michael,
yes.
Is on the line. I'm going to play the montage for you, and then you give us the songs in order. You got to get all 5.
Okay.
Here you go. All right, what are those?
Okay. Starlight.
Yes.
Uprising.
Yes.
Supernatural Black Hole.
Yes.
Madness.
Yes.
Length of Sidonia.
You bastard.
What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He got all of them right in order.
Oh, my God. I've been listening to K-Rock since Monday all day.
Just to win these?
I love you guys.
You're going to love it. You're going to love seeing Muse in a room the size of a closet.
You're the best.
Congratulations.
Actually, in this case, you're the best, dude. You're way better than we are.
That's crazy. Thank you for playing. It's about a montage. Girl, we want a
montage. That's a terrific song, by the way. Atlas Genius is the name of the band. They are playing with the Imagine Dragons coming up in March at the Wiltern. Tickets on sale now. Got Bush coming up, also Lumineers and Foo Fighters. Right now, time for another Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
First story comes out of Eugene, Oregon. An Oregon man was released from jail last week and arrested less than an hour later.
Good job.
Less than an hour. The man's name is Christopher Franklin Weaver. He's 33. He was released from jail at 11 a.m. last Thursday. And then at 11:55... So 55 minutes after he got out of jail,
right.
Allegedly robbed a bank.
Well, they took him out and he had no cash. He had nothing, right?
Right, but
what's a guy supposed to do?
But isn't your first thought, I don't want to go back there?
Yes. Yes, I would. I mean, if you're lucky enough to get out of jail, you do everything you can to never go back. Absolutely.
This is one of those things where they let people go because they didn't have enough money and they so the non- threatening criminals.
Oh,
they
try
to let out, so they let him out.
So he decided to become threatening?
I guess. He could get 10 years if he's convicted now.
He may not have learned his lesson the first time around.
55 minutes. There's
That's
not even
amazing.
There's not even an internal conversation going on where he's going, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. You don't have time for that.
No, it's true.
Nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. I haven't even gotten lunch and a woman in that first hour yet. I mean, I'm not doing anything till I get to take care of those.
Here's another one. This comes out of Virginia. Late last night, a Domino's driver was robbed after trying to deliver a pizza. Two people, one with a gun, took the pizza and his money. I don't know which they wanted more. I mean, I don't think those guys have a lot of cash.
No, I don't think they do.
But they took the pizza. The pizza delivery guy followed the girl who took off because she was, I don't know, riding a bike. So she helped rob the guy, and then she jumped on her bike and started pedaling away.
Not the best getaway vehicle.
The other guy with the gun took off in a car. He got away. But the pizza delivery man just followed her at like 2 miles an hour and called 911 and then had the police come arrest him.
That's hilarious.
On a bike. I mean, do you not think ahead a little bit?
Why wouldn't you get in the car with the guy?
I don't know.
Yeah, good question, Lisa.
And finally, this you may have seen this online. It is spectacular. This comes out of Miami. Penelope Soto is her name.
Wait, a crazy story out of Florida? You're kidding me.
Penelope Soto, a Florida woman, was jailed on Monday. The original count was drug possession. So the judge is setting bail.
By the way, Xanax. She wasn't moving heroin, okay? She just had Xanax on her without a prescription. Keep that in mind when you see how this encounter with the judge ends.
Okay, so we have actual audio, and I tweeted out the video at the Kevin Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. This is the judge talking to the woman, and the woman is laughing and not paying attention. The judge gets very annoyed very quick.
I own a lot of jewelry, all right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was asking
what?
Her. He was trying to figure out an amount for bail.
Oh, okay.
So he's talking to her about her assets.
Yeah, well, how much money do you have? She said, I have jewelry. He said, how much is it worth? And then she says,
I own a lot of jewelry, all right, as well as
go ahead.
A car.
Well, how much would you say your jewelry is worth? Well, it's not a joke, you know. We are not in a club now.
Okay, but it's, you know.
Well, you see, you know, we are not in a club. Be serious about it.
I'm serious about it. You're being very serious.
I can see you're serious, all right.
You just made me laugh. I apologize.
It's all right. How much is your jewelry worth?
It's worth a lot of money.
Like what?
Like Rick Ross.
Huh?
It's worth money.
It's worth money. She says, like Rick Ross.
Like, the judge has any idea who Rick Ross is.
Right.
And by the way, if you don't, he's a famous super fat black rapper who always is walking around with like $2 million worth of jewels on him.
She doesn't get that the more she says she has, the more he's going to find out.
No, right. No, she doesn't have any
she
concept.
She doesn't understand. Yeah, absolutely.
She's bragging.
I am flat broke, judge. I barely have two pennies to rub together is what she should be saying.
That's what you say. She's like, no, I have a lot of jewelry.
And by the way, I'd love to have a future conversation on this topic because I think it's fascinating. Kevin, you and I talked about this a little bit off air yesterday. I mean, you're the king of the world when you're the judge in the courtroom. You have a tremendous amount of discretion, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, judges, I mean, it's super important to them that they are treated with the utmost respect. It is not a time for yucks at all. And they can really, I mean, they have the power to really come down on you if they feel that you're being disrespectful. There's no place else that happens, really.
Yeah, and there are very few ways she can fight this, but she was being an idiot.
Yeah.
So then he says,
but it doesn't sound like she's intentionally being, you know, bratty or anything like that. She sounds like she's a little drunk or high or something, or just super nervous because she's in this situation. She's 18 years old. She has no criminal record, so she's never been in this situation before. It sounds like she's just wigging out a little bit. And so far, I think the judge is handling it fine, but I think it's about to escalate.
Have you had any kind of drugs in the last 24 hours?
Actually, no.
Actually, no?
Judge, I'll make it easy for the court, respectfully.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Come back, ma'am. Come back.
All right, so
what?
The judge says $5,000 bond. That's a $5,000 bail.
Okay.
And then she says, adios, and turns to walk away. Well, that
now
is.
Did she say that as some sort of a dig that he's Hispanic, or was she just merely being saying goodbye?
I don't have any idea. I do know that it made him mad, however. So he
calls her back.
Come back, come back.
Gun one would be 10,000.
Okay, so he changes it from 5,000 to 10,000.
Because she said adios?
Yes. Because now he's angry.
Wow.
So what does she do? Does she realize, oh, I better shut up?
I apologize, Judge. I meant no disrespect. Thank you for your time, sir, is what she says, right?
She walked away from him and said, F you, and flipped him off.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Adios. Come back again.
Oh, no.
Come back again.
Come back again. She flipped him off and said F you. So now he's like,
he said,
get right back in front of me again. Yeah, he said adios.
I love it.
Because he's angry. So now she comes back after flipping him off, and he wants to make sure that's what she did. That's what she meant.
What's up?
Did you say F me?
Actually, I
did you say that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you did say that?
I'm not
I find you in direct criminal contempt. 30 days in the county jail.
Okay, that's fine.
30 days in jail.
Okay, that's fine.
It started off just setting a court date, $5,000 yeah. bail, quickly went to 10 grand. Forget that, 30 days in county lockup.
Wow. She, at this rate, she's going to be in prison forever.
She is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Beer mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Oh, my God! Oh, yes!
Wow.
That was a moment with Bean.
Jeez.
That was sweet.
You think that, I gave up. I mean, I wasn't even trying to fight it anymore. 1 second in, I just collapsed.
That was sweet.
The celebration was like...
Oh, Muggs was so happy.
It was like VE Day. It was like World War II was over, and they were in the streets... Sailors kissing nurses and ticker tape parades. Wow.
That was a good one. All right. 6:54 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to the young man who made out with Bar Raffaelli in graphic detail during the Super Bowl. Maybe you saw that commercial.
I did like the noises coming off of them.
Yeah.
That was bothersome.
Yeah. He claims, by the way, that he has heard from a lot of women that wish it were them.
Oh, please.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Yes, that's what he claims.
Is he going to be one of those guys?
Well,
you know, I've never had a problem with the ladies.
Chicks are all over me.
Even at 312 pounds, a lot of acne, the curly hair.
Can I play the moment with again?
Sure.
You mind?
Okay. And now, a moment with Bean.
Beer mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Oh, my God! Oh, yes!
Wow.
That was a moment with Bean.
As good as that was, I think Beer Mug's reaction may have been a little over the top.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, my God! Yeah! Woohoo!
6:55, Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Porn star Kim Kardashian's just a whore.
Is that your story?
Yes, thank you. Moving on. She's in a bit of trouble because... A few weeks ago, she urged all of her followers, and she's got a couple mil on Twitter, to join her in signing a pledge to end gun violence in the wake of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting.
I do look to her for solutions on the gun problem.
Well, we all do. Then, promptly, she Instagrammed a photo of her new favorite toy, which is a .22 caliber revolver that has been bejeweled.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a gun that has been covered with crystals as if there was an iPhone case.
Dear God.
So she quickly pulled it down, but by then it was too late. According to ABC News, users just crawled all over her ass, which makes me happy. One Twitter follower said, "You have too much influence to be this blind and ignorant. Innocent children and people will still die, even if the gun is pretty." Another wrote, "When everyone is debating gun control, this is what you post? Is it just a fun accessory?" Which, of course, it is. So she's getting heat, which just makes me endlessly happy.
Well, I don't know how you could be that stupid.
Yeah. You know what? Don't take a stand. It's fine. Nobody really cares what the F you have to say.
Nobody's
about the
looking
subject
to you for
anyway.
That, right?
But you don't make a point of puffing yourself up and making a stand and then post a picture of your bejeweled .22.
Do you think it occurred to her even?
No, I really don't. That's why I want to hit her with a snow shovel in the back of the head.
Allegedly. I mean,
no,
figuratively.
I want to hit her with a snow
figuratively.
Shovel.
Figuratively.
I want to hit her with a snow shovel in the back of the head.
But we're not telling anyone else to do that.
I didn't say that.
All right.
I didn't say I'm going to do it. I'm just saying what I want to do.
All right.
We're still America. There's no thought police. I can have those thoughts.
Oh, there's thought police.
Well,
you're
bring
wrong.
It on, thought police. I will barricade myself in an imaginary bunker. And then the thought police will never be able to get to me. While we're talking about that horrible family, this is a great story. Robert Kardashian, the unfortunate bastard who was married to Kris Jenner and sired all those evil children, he was married before he passed away to a woman named Ellen. Ellen Kardashian has sold his personal journals to In Touch magazine, and they are starting to publish snippets from it. My favorite part is a psychological evaluation that was taken of Kris Jenner during the time of their divorce. They both underwent psychological evaluations.
Awesome.
According to In Touch magazine, the six-page report describes Kris Jenner as, and I quote, demanding, this is a psychologist report, by the way, demanding, manipulative, and having a Cinderella attitude where situations resulted in everyone just living happily ever after.
Bitch, you're calling me crazy?
Psychologist goes on to describe Kris Jenner as narcissistic, with a marked elevation of narcissistic scale.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Dead on.
The psychologist also wrote that Kris believes she is a good mother, that her sense of self is based much more on fantasy than it is realistic considerations.
Love it.
And Robert believed that she never wanted to have kids in the first place, that she misspent his money, he claimed in his diary, and also stole his gun. Well, maybe she put jewels all over it and gave it to him. Maybe that's what happened to it. And what are you going to do about the Justin Bieber-Rihanna affair?
That's not happening.
Those two having sex.
That's not happening.
How about them having sex?
That isn't happening.
According to Friends and Life and Style magazine, that was the cause of the split between Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez.
She found out that
Bieber had cheated on her with Rihanna during the early stages of their relationship. Cuts like a knife, she said. But it feels so right. I said.
Put him in the file, I said.
She says that early on in their relationship, after an evening of flirting at the NBA All-Star Game in February of 2011, Bieber and Rihanna hooked up, and Selena Gomez found out about it, and that was the problem in their relationship.
Rihanna can get pretty much anyone she wants, wouldn't you think?
But she seems like just a mess.
Yeah, but Bieber mess?
Listen,
come on.
If you're banging Chris Brown, the guy who beat you up.
I agree.
Where are your standards? Where's your level of who you're going to spend your time with?
Still got to be above Bieber.
Look, I'm just saying.
Buck Wild.
No way.
Buck Wild.
Not ever.
Buck Wild got renewed.
Yeah, Buck Wild.
LaQuisha's going to be so excited.
I've heard she's moving. I heard she's leaving the country. This is no
going
longer
someplace where she doesn't get TV.
No longer her America, she said before she packed her bags. Today's celebrity birthdays, James Spader. How good an actor is James Spader?
He's great.
He's awesome.
53 years old today.
Did you like him in Lincoln, Ralph?
I haven't seen Lincoln yet.
Okay.
Yeah. He was great then.
He was
awesome.
He was really good in Lincoln. Really
he was my favorite part. Garth Brooks is 51 years old. Eddie Izzard is also 51. Chris Rock turns 48. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit is 38. Ashton Kutcher is 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols and the Sunday Night Show here on K-Rock joins us later on today. We've got a brand new internet roundup for you as well. What if I were to tell you, Lisa May, that we have an actor on the phone right now who's been in The Social Network, Old School, Catch Me If You Can, American Pie, and Spider-Man?
That's a very successful actor, I would say.
And the Super Bowl commercial.
How about if I also told you that he's been on the TV shows My Name is Earl and Bones and Entourage and Glee and Chuck and Monk and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Arrested Development and Las Vegas and the OC? How about if he'd done all of that?
Well, then I have obviously seen him.
And the Super Bowl commercial.
And he's this guy in this commercial you saw on Sunday.
There are two sides to GoDaddy. There's the sexy side represented by Bar Raffaelli and the smart side that creates a killer website for your small business represented by Walter. Together, they're perfect.
Start making out. Oh, that's a lot of moisture.
Yeah. That is. That's spit right there.
Get your domain and website at GoDaddy.com.
Jesse. Dude, yes. What's going on, my friend?
What's happening? I'm actually, I listen to you guys all the time. I'm actually in New York right now, though.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening, and we are just, we can't even imagine what this week has been like. I mean, for a guy who's been in the business for a long time, you've essentially exploded overnight, right?
Yes. It's been my best week ever.
After the shooting of the commercial, though, right?
It's been a great experience. I mean, I shot the commercial, and it's aired on Sunday, and since then I've got nothing but phone interviews and TV interviews, and it's been nonstop.
Of course, yeah. Now, a guy who's you've been to a million TV shoots and movie shoots and commercials. You've done a bunch of commercials before. Did you know what you were auditioning for when you showed up for the GoDaddy spot?
I did. They had it right on the casting that you're going to be kissing Bar Raffaele at the Super Bowl. And I said, if someone rejected that, they should leave the business now.
Agreed. And did you have to audition? Were you in competition with a lot of other actors for it, or do they pretty much have you in mind?
I was in competition with a lot of my friends. The nerd community is large in Los Angeles. We always compete against each other.
Now, was part of the audition you're kissing?
Yes.
It was.
It was all about kissing. And the first audition, we had to improvise with just ourselves.
So you were basically, you weren't kissing anybody the first time. You were just making it look like you were.
Exactly. Okay. And then the second audition, I was kissing a stand-in for Barr, which is someone who was there to and another a woman there was there on the second audition kissing every guy that came in.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's a lot of herpes right there, man. So the day you show up to do the commercial, I mean, was this awkward for Barr, or was she just an acting professional and she just got in there and rolled up her sleeves and did what had to be done?
We both were. I've been acting for 12 years, and so I mean, we're both professional on set, mature. Adults and we got to know each other before we started. We became friendly, and her and Danica were both very friendly to me and were interested in my career, and as I was of theirs, of course. But it was a very professional set. Everybody was very respectful of us, giving us time to get used to each other before we really got into it.
And right. But you really got into it. The edited one that didn't make it to the air on the Super Bowl, there's a lot of tongue. And I can't imagine that you were able to stay, quote, professional through that whole thing.
What are you asking, Kevin?
You know what I'm asking.
I did my best to stay professional.
Here's the thing. We've heard, we've read so much about you this week, Jesse, and we've heard that it took many, many, many takes to get the shot that everybody ultimately signed off on. Don't you just start laughing at some point when they say, okay, I know you've just been making out with her for 30 seconds. Now you've got to do it again, and now you've got to do it again, and now you've got to do it again. Like, how do you ever make it look like the first time?
I just enjoy each one. I mean, I'm kissing Bar Raffaele each one. I mean, it's not like it's amazing. It's just, you know, it's like redoing it the first time. You just, you know, it's just each time you do it, and doing it with her. I mean, it was just it's just amazing.
I'm trying to figure out a way. How long did it take? That 45 minutes?
No, the whole commercial shoot took about 6 to 8 hours.
No, but the kissing part, the good part.
For each take, it was about 18 seconds of kissing.
Oh, I would have made that last. I would have said, sorry, my bad, we got to do it again. I would have done that for days.
And you would have been fired, too. But
yes, but who cares?
Have you seen Barr since the commercial shot, Jesse?
Yes, I saw it last night.
If you tell me that you're a couple, I will fall on my own sword.
No, last night we were on the Tonight Show doing a skit with Jay, and it was really funny.
Are you guys? Do you consider that you guys are friends now? Are you going to stay in touch?
I think we are friends. She's very friendly to me whenever I see her on town, and I really enjoy. Hang out with her, so hopefully we get to hang out in a non-work matter sometime soon.
Yep. Well, it's a fantastic story. It really is. Look, for all the people who watched the Super Bowl and were so happy to see those young men's dreams come true, I say screw that. You were the guy. You were the guy who was the big – forget the Ravens. You're the big winner for Super Bowl Sunday, Jesse. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you. Congratulations, and I'm sure we'll see you in another 200 movies and TV shows before we talk to you again.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Jesse.
You bet, man. Thank you.
Lisa, it's been a while since you've been a waitress.
Yes.
But you did it because you were young and you needed the money. Do you think you have the temperament now if things got bad? Do you think you could ever do that job again?
I didn't have the temperament then.
Oh, really?
My friends would want to come and visit me and I would say, don't do it. Don't do it. You won't even recognize me. I am an angry, unhappy person.
Oh, that's sad.
Do not come and visit me. That was horrible.
It seems like, I mean, look, I understand people get into it because for a lot of reasons. Mostly it's they need a job. But there are some people who are very social people who enjoy the interaction with other people.
Yeah.
There are people who, you know, like food. I mean, there are a lot of reasons people do get into it. But this new list that came out made me wonder how anyone survives being a waiter or a waitress. It's called 21 Things Waiters Dread. And I'm just going to mention a couple of them here. We don't have time for more. But I think it'd be great, Kevin, if we could get some calls from servers and find out what it's really like in the trenches. Don't you?
Yeah, of the most ridiculous customers, the most a-hole-ish customers. I mean, anybody that's having a bad day, you're right there, and you're fair game, and they take it out on you. And I don't understand how people can put up with that without going postal.
Yeah.
I don't either. I mean, this list has everything from, what is this tipping? We don't have it in my country, is one thing. And I guess that's a legitimate excuse, because there are some countries where people really don't tip. I mean, it's just not part of the custom. And then they come to America and they don't understand it. I can see how that would be frustrating. Tipping has to, I mean, I would imagine that's the number one complaint for waiters and waitresses, don't you think?
I would guess
so. Not getting what you think you're worth?
Yes.
I would guess so, yeah.
Can you make it quick? Or, in other words, it's been 10 minutes. Where's my well-done steak? People who are always complaining about how fast the food comes. And, you know, a lot of times that's something that's completely out of the server's hands. They don't have anything to do with whether the food is cooked or not, right?
That is what's frustrating about being a server, is there's so much that's out of your hands, really.
Right. Here's one that probably wasn't even on the list a year ago that's in the top 21 server complaints, which is people who take a lot of time taking pictures of their food at the restaurant. Oh, my God. I need to Instagram this is called.
Yes.
And I would imagine that keeps people at the table longer. I would imagine that irritates other diners nearby if you're sitting there using a flash. I would imagine that's something that probably bugs a lot of people, too. We do live in a world now where there are some people who can't ever have a meal that they don't also photograph.
Remember the ticket that somebody photographed from a restaurant where the preacher left no money? This is from that.
I give 10% to God. Why do you get 18%? And then next to the actual tip, there's a zero.
Yeah. So I give 10% to God. Why do you get 18%?
Oh,
and
wow.
Then he wrote zero, right? That's not only not leaving a tip, but being insulting as well.
Yeah.
Yes. And the woman who photographed that and put it up online, she ended up getting fired.
That's true.
Because God didn't like that.
And here's one more. Then we'll take a break and get to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And this one just says it all. And this would drive me crazy, too. 2132 on the Visa, 2564 on the Amex, 17 out of this 20, 823 out of this 20. And can you make change for 50?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
I think I would be waiter or waitress who would say no separate checks is what I would say. Sorry,
we don't have that option here.
That's, yeah, you're probably right.
That's the thing. That's why we couldn't be waiters or waitresses.
Look, let the people at the table do the math. Not my problem. I'm busy. I have 10 other tables to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, there are a few bad waiters and waitresses, let's be honest, that make you look bad.
Me.
Lisa.
That's terrible.
But most are pretty good, and most give pretty good service, and most are pretty happy, and, you know, they have to take a lot of crap. And short of killing people, we want you to call in and get it off your chest.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Louisa, you hang on. Chris, Tom, you too. We promise we'll get to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Who cares?
All right. Let's talk about waiters and waitresses, servers, and how they have to put up with all kinds of crap.
Oh, yeah.
We promise it's not us. We're not your bad customers. We love you, and we give big tips, okay? So don't yell at us
over
the things that you're about to hear. Please don't pee in our soup. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Just recapping the list of the things that drive servers the crazy. We want to hear from you. You know, we got a few on here that we hadn't even thought about. Louisa gets us going. She's on line one and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Louisa. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
What's going on? You're a waitress? What's happening?
You know, what I hate is all the people with all their different diets. They're vegans, they're vegetarians, they're lactose tolerant, their, you know, gluten allergies. Yep. They order gluten-free pasta with all the gluten. We're going to call it glutton allergies because that's all they are, is a bunch of glutton.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about that. And these days, you're absolutely right. There are so many different people who have so many foods that they won't eat, and then they just have to pick apart, like, every item on the menu. I bet they have a question about, right?
Right. They're like, I'm a vegan. What can I eat? I'm like, you're the vegan. What can you eat?
Well, it's a good job while you had it, Louisa.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Now, let me ask you guys a follow-up on that, because I don't eat the cows or the pigs. And sometimes I do ask questions. Like, if there's a soup on the menu, I think it's legitimate to ask if it's a beef stock or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah. I would think one question. But
you
I
get
imagine,
one question per item, right?
That's I imagine
it.
People go through the whole menu.
Right, yeah, I'm sure. All right, let's go to Chris. He's got a new one, too, I hadn't thought about. He's on line three, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Lisa May, how you doing?
I'm good, Chris.
You're a server. What drives you crazy?
You know, I work at a local establishment right by my house, and you get unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks at this establishment. And so we get a lot of the older crowd in there, you know, throughout the day. And you'll go ahead and you'll take their entree order. You'll bring out their soup and salad, breadsticks, you know, whichever one that they choose. And their entree will come out, and maybe you've refilled their salad and breadsticks a couple times, maybe the soups three or four times even. But the thing that always gets me and my biggest pet peeve is right before, you can tell that they're almost done with their entree, and they're about ready to lock up and go home. And then they'll ask, oh, could you refill our salad for us? No problem. You know, maybe they want to grub on it before they leave after the meal. That's fine. But then as soon as you bring it out with brand new breadsticks, it's, oh, could you put these in a container to go home for
Yeah! Ah, they're setting you up for the next meal, too, then.
Oh, dude, like, totally, like, slap in the face. Thanks for your hard work.
Love
it. My soup and salad. I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to grub it on it there, too. Thank you.
I love yeah. it.
My gotcha. Parents have baggies of rolls from...
What?
really? they let's love go to, for Nio bread.
Maybe that guy was their waiter.
That's hilarious. Let's go to Aaron on line six. Again, here's one I didn't even think about, but we're taking server complaints on the Kevin and Bean Show. Aaron, what's going on with you?
So I had a lady who came in, and she had really long black hair, and I have really short blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I made her salad, I made her breadsticks, brought it all out for her, and come back a couple minutes later to make sure, you know, there's enough dressing and all that stuff. And she says, I found a really long black hair in my salad. And I'm like, oh, that's shocking, being that you have long black hair and I have short black hair.
You didn't say that. You wanted to say that.
Yes, yes. Okay. But I'm like sitting there like, oh, let me go get a manager for you. And they comp her whole meal, and there goes my tip and everything.
Oh,
But by the way, if you ever get a comped meal or a free meal or a coupon discount meal, you're still supposed to give the tip for the waiter
right,
or waitress.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right,
you certainly have more money to do it.
Right. You give them a better tip because you got the meal for free. Exactly. All right, Aaron,
exactly.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Ashley. Ashley's on line seven. She's going to get us into the tipping part of the equation. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
So I worked as a server for 10 years. I don't anymore. I actually work in food safety now, which is interesting. But I worked at a bar once, a pretty popular sports bar, and I had a couple come in, and they got a pool table at $16 an hour, and I asked, you know, what they would like to drink, and she orders a Grey Goose and Red Bull, and he says, I'll have the same. So I said, okay, got them both Grey Goose and Red Bull. And they were ordering that all night, having a good time. We're joking around back and forth, just having a great time. I felt like this is a lock for a really good tip, you know?
Right.
Get to the end, and the bill is $150 or more. And I look at the receipt after they signed it, and she had gone off to the bathroom. And I look at it, and it says $2, F-U, with a sad face.
Really? And they put F-U on it?
What?
F-U.
And you were getting along with them?
Yes. So I approached the guy. I said, hey, what's going on with this? I thought you guys were having a great time. Why is there an F-U on my receipt? And he says, oh, I didn't order the Grey Goose. I just wanted, you know, well, vodka. And starts arguing with me back and forth.
Because the Grey Goose is more expensive.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just told him that it was highly inappropriate and that, you know, and the manager approached him and said maybe they shouldn't return.
Nice.
Wow.
You got a little backup. Fantastic.
No, I mean,
nice. That
I have a lot of sympathy for that story because, I mean, it sounds like that was an all-night thing. You put in a ton of time for those clients and got nothing.
Exactly. The FU was what really set me off. It was a bad tip already, and then the FU was just a slap in the face.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That one hurts. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Amy real quick, line 2, taking your server calls at 1-800-520-1067. People, keep all this in mind when you go out to eat today or this weekend or something like that. Don't do these things.
Yes.
Stop it. Amy, hi.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So my biggest pet peeve, although I have probably a million of them, is when my customers assume that I never have nor ever will go to college.
Oh, they think you're stupid?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a server?
I've had a table before talking to their daughter about where she was planning on going to college. Somebody else on the table asked me where I went. Before I could answer, the dad said, oh, don't worry, sweetie, she never went to college.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
I graduated 3 years ago with my teaching credentials.
In that suit.
Hey, by the way, many waiters and waitresses have college degrees these days. That's called the economy, all right?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Tom, line 4. Man, we're getting so many good calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Tom. Thanks for holding on, dude. What's happening?
How's it going, guys? Hi, Lisa
May. Hi there.
So I have parties of 24 walk in on Sunday mornings at this establishment I work at. They always come from church. They always ask for separate checks for all 24 people.
24 people, 24 separate checks.
Separate checks. Then at the end, they ask for an extra meal because they have a coupon, every single one of them.
24 extra meals.
Oh, my God.
So buy one, get one free, put it on the bill, and bring the bill out. Oh, we have a coupon. Now they want, they get upset because they're waiting for the food that they ordered at the end of the meal.
Oh my gosh. So when those people come in, are you and the other servers just running for the bathroom, just doing anything to not be the person? Yeah, you have to fight with each other about who has to take that table because you know it's a disaster, right?
And then they tip on the actual coupon taken off amount, which is
it's
awful.
Dude, you need to start being closed on Sundays. You really do. It's not even worth it.
Wow.
I want to destroy them.
That's what we're looking for. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, I think that ever since Hugh Hefner married to his lovely and just charming girlfriend, Crystal, we've all been wondering, can these two crazy kids make it?
How's that working out?
Because remember, she left him at the altar 5 days before they were supposed to get married the last time. And then she went on various media outlets and said horrible things about him regarding his sexual prowess, that he was a two-second man, that he was too old and she knew what she was thinking. And then they got back together again and he gave her another giant diamond.
That's
and they
crazy.
Finally got married. So she was doing an interview on HuffPost Live yesterday, and the interviewer asks her, understandably, about the intimacy in their relationship. And here's what Crystal being Hugh Hefner's brand new wife, had to say.
What's your intimate relationship?
Well, I feel like since Hef is, older now, and he's had, the phase of his life and phases of all the, girlfriends and all that kind of stuff, I feel now is more... like cuddling up and watching a movie or playing backgammon. We play Uno with the girls, dominoes.
Wow.
It's more, just kind of like a...
So does that mean that you don't have sex?
I'm not going to... No comment.
Wow.
She just commented.
Yeah.
She just commented.
Hey, you know what? New wife who I gave a lot of money to and a big diamond ring?
Two rings.
Standing answer for that is, boy, do we ever... And he rocks my world.
And it's great. Regardless of reality.
Absolutely regardless of reality.
Yeah.
You owe me, after all that crap you said the first time, to nothing but glowing reviews in the bedroom from you. A little less, no comment, we play Uno and dominoes. No, I rock your world four times a day.
But there's a part of me that says, Hugh Hefner got what he deserved because he went back to her after that. I mean, that's who she is.
But fine. But now that she is married to him.
I agree what she should do.
She's not a smart girl.
You have to toe the company line.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Agree.
You don't. No comment.
No comment. That means.
It means I'm banging the pool boy.
Yes,
that's what that means.
I'm starting to wonder, and I don't want to
you know, I don't judge too much just on this one example, but maybe a 60-year age difference is too much to get past in a relationship.
You're crazy.
I mean, I know it could work.
That's the ideal age difference.
Oh, 60 is right?
Okay. Yes.
They have a lot in common.
Yes. Who was it? I forget what actor said once, I would never entertain the idea of marrying a woman who was old enough to be my wife. I forget who said that, but that's a great line. Well, we play Uno and dominoes and backgammon, and we watch movies. That's what you do with your grandfather. That's not what you do with your husband.
He's a grandfather.
Yeah, he is. Wrong answer.
You get the sense that Bean's wife would have the same exact answer if you
Yeah.
What's your intimate life like? Well, we go to Denny's, and we go to IHOP, and we feed the hay to the goat.
Then we go online.
And we look up news stories to stay current.
To stay current.
And then we write strongly worded letters.
So you're not having sex?
No comment.
We watch a lot of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, there you go.
That is sexy.
While we're talking about Bean, Dev Patel and the lovely Frida Pinto in the news.
I love her.
I do too.
They're a great couple. They've been together since Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
Many years now, and seem to be one of Hollywood's happiest couples.
I insist you say that the right way, Ralph.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Thank you.
They said they don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Because, and I quote, "We think every day should be a celebration of our love."
There it is.
That's what Liar Bean said.
There it is.
But now I don't believe him at all.
That's Liar Bean's answer.
They're together.
Totally true.
Stop it.
Totally true. 100%
not totally true.
It is.
You're a mess, and every day is not a celebration of your love.
I do lots of nice things for my wife throughout the year, whether it's Valentine's Day or not.
You liar! Like going away on vacation by yourself.
Well, she requests that a lot.
Staying in one house while she's in the other.
Uh-huh. And she goes away by herself.
Yeah.
Never together! I send her things in the mail and leave her little presents and bring things to her.
You never see her.
I do all of those things, guys.
Wow, you are such a romantic
being. You are. Mm-hmm. You're like a modern-day Don Juan.
Thank you.
We could all pattern our lives after you.
Bad news, Smash fans. Smash debuted its second season on Tuesday. Had the lowest ratings of any of its previous episodes.
Ouch. I watched it. It was good.
Show saw a
smash.
60% decline in viewership.
Wow, that hurts.
That's not.
Was there something on against it that was unusual? Or?
Tuesday, Joe Schmo.
I don't watch that.
It probably was Joe Schmo.
Everybody
was watching Joe Schmo.
Good point.
Tuesday nights, that's what they watch.
Good point.
Boy, and it's gotten so much press and it's just been promoted to death over the last month or so. So it's not like people didn't know it was there. They just chose not to watch it.
Yeah, I'm stunned. I really enjoyed the first season. I should probably hold fast to those memories. I'm getting a sense. I should just really...
Don't say it.
I'm just saying.
No, don't say it.
I'm just saying.
They should be smarter than to go up against Jake Montrose.
Meanwhile, Buck Wild got renewed.
Yes!
See, those ratings are strong. That, hey, America, bite me. Yeah. Nobody's watching Smash, but everybody's tuning into Buck Wild.
Hey, they go mudding.
They do go mudding every freaking episode. mudding. But sometimes they fight. And sometimes they drink, and sometimes they shoot guns.
That's true, all of that.
So, second season of Buck Wild has been announced. Each episode has averaged around 3 million viewers.
Wow. That's pretty good for cable, I'll tell you that.
Those are strong cable numbers right there. And you know what it's like when Jennifer Lawrence is obsessed with you?
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, no, you don't know what
that's
like.
Oh, I don't know that at all.
But John Stamos does. Jennifer Lawrence was interviewed by Conan O'Brien, and she discussed an embarrassing exchange that went down when she met her girlhood crush John Stamos at a party. Doesn't every girl have a girlhood crush on John Stamos?
Yes.
I didn't want to meet him because when I meet people, it's never good, she said.
Really?
Yes. And I was avoiding him. But then my friends brought him over to me because my friends are jerks, and I started freaking out. And he asked me if I was on mushrooms. And I said, no, I'm dead sober.
Come on,
this
that's not
just
that bad.
Me. This is just me.
I love her so much because she has no filter. She tells all the stories that are embarrassing about her, and she just has. She's so self-deprecating, has a great sense of humor. It's just everything about her is awesome.
She's a good time.
Although her breasts are uneven, and that's a deal breaker.
Oh, I know. I would have to get her sort of lever and pulley contraption to even them out before I could see her.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. And remember the lawsuit that was brought against John Travolta by that cruise ship steward who said when he was servicing John Travolta's room
on a cruise ship, Travolta dropped his rope and said, hey.
A lot of those came
about
out
a little greased lightning
at the same time.
Yeah, it was usually masseurs.
Right.
At spas and stuff who were saying that John wanted to be massaged in places that they don't usually travel to.
Right.
But this gentleman was the steward of his stateroom on a cruise ship. And he said that Travolta disrobed, offered him money for a massage, followed by uninvited kisses on his neck and a naked embrace. He said, come here, give me a hug, nude.
That could all be innocent.
It could be. Well, that lawsuit has now been dropped, mysteriously. No one can find out why.
Really?
Fabian Zanzi is his name, has dropped his lawsuit against Mr. Travolta. The Travolta camp did fire back, said that none of the purported physical encounters or stories were, in fact, true. But it's suspected that the dismissal may be attributed to the financial burden that would be put on Fabian if the case did not resolve in his favor. You know, if they don't find it him,
if it doesn't win.
If it doesn't win, then right. He would maybe held accountable for Travolta's legal fees and stuff like that. So maybe he got scared off by the potential cost if he lost his lawsuit. Or a more likely story, in my opinion, there's a recent item in blindgossip.com about a $1.75 million payoff between an actor and his plaintiff.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was one of those blind items where they don't name names, but they say, oh, recently we discovered paperwork about a $1.75 million payoff between an actor and his plaintiff. So maybe Fabian...
makes more sense.
Walked away with a little pocket change to make the whole thing worthwhile.
Hey, that's the best of all possible outcomes for him. Because
no,
the other option is he ends up buried in the desert, right?
That's right. No, he ends up being strapped to a volcano with an H-bomb being thrown.
Right. A lot of bad things could happen if you go up against the wrong church.
You want Xenu coming after you.
I mean, I love Scientology.
I think
it's great.
I think it's the best of all the possible religions.
But there are some people who have suggested that maybe they're not the greatest people in the world. I disagree with them.
Like I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's not it at all, Jiminy. No.
That's not.
That's the Judaism you're thinking of.
What?
Jiminy Glick had the wrong religion.
Judaism?
That. Judaism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those are the Jews, Kevin.
I didn't understand.
Come on, step in. Help me out here, won't you?
Seriously.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ashton Kutcher's 35 years old today. Tom Blankenship, bassist for My Morning Jacket, 35 years old. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit fame is 38. Lakers guard Steve Nash. Hey, call your mom, Kevin. It's Steve Nash's birthday.
I'm sure
she celebrates.
She knows. She's
doesn't
got a shrine.
Doesn't
sure
she knows. Get herself a little cake?
She used to when he was a son.
He's 39. He's a basketball player and he's 39. Yeah. What's the average age of the Lakers now? 50? Is it about 50 now?
It's about
getting
right
up there.
Yeah.
At least we have Pau Gasol. Back to you.
Wait a minute. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. He's got a bit of an injury.
Could be the end of the season, Ralph.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that
could
long?
Could be.
Oh. And, you know, Dwight's complaining about his shoulder again.
Yeah.
And Kobe says, hey, you just got to play with it. We win championships here. Way to make friends with your teammates there, Kobe. Calling the guy out publicly.
I think it's going well.
I do, too. They're in good shape. Sully Erna of Godsmack is 45. Chris Rock is 48. Eddie Izzard celebrates his 51st birthday. Also 51 is Garth Brooks, and James Spader, one of my favorite actors, turns 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I want to thank our friend Adam Carolla for inviting us onto his very popular podcast last night. We were at the Malfi's restaurant on La Brea. By the way, you get any of that any pizza? You get any free pizza out of that deal, Ken?
I did not. What a ripoff.
You try any mangria?
No, Adam had some. He didn't give me any.
That mangria is good stuff, isn't
A-hole.
It? Anyway, to Bald Brian and Allison Rosen, the whole team there, it was a great time, and the podcast will be up at adamcarolla.com if you want to hear it. We talked a lot about the early days of when Adam was on this show, along with Jimmy Kimmel. It was a lot of fun.
He brought up stories that Bean and I both had forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some crazy, crazy, crazy times. So that was a lot of fun. And speaking of friends of ours on the radio, Kevin, do you ever tune in to hear Petros and Money over there on KLEC?
Yeah, of course.
And accidentally tune in too early and hear Pat O'Brien?
Oh, yeah.
Pat... Look, I love Pat. I think he's great on the radio. I liked him as an entertainment reporter for all those years. I liked him for CBS Sports for all those years. But he's gone crazy since he's been doing sports talk radio. And I don't know if it's because he wishes he hadn't left the entertainment stuff behind. But every single sports story that comes up, he figures out a way to work in some sort of entertainment story. You know what I mean?
He's a name dropper.
There's no question. Yes, 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 yes. Very much so. It is definitely all about Pat over there. I mean, I heard him a couple of weeks ago when he had Kobe Bryant on the phone. He's like, hey, Kobe, you ever see me where I sit at Staples Center when you're out? You know where I sit. You look at where I am.
Hey, hold on a minute, you guys.
Wait, what's going on?
Hold
what's
on
going
a second.
On?
Pat O'Brien here from Primetime with Pat O'Brien.
You don't need to stop by, Pat. We were just going to make a mention of this.
I was out in the hallway, fellas.
Move on.
And I heard you guys talking about me, so I thought I'd come in and, you know, defend myself.
Did you really ask Kobe if he knew where your seats were?
Kobe knows where I sit. Kobe sees me during the games.
I see.
He'll give me a look or a nod or a wink, whatever supermodel I'm with there in the seat next to me. It was Bar Raphael. He was there with me a couple games ago.
All right, let me ask you this, Pat, because our man Ralph, I don't know if you know Ralph Garvin.
I'm not familiar with the man, no.
Okay, well, Ralph was telling us that he was listening to you this week talking about the Super Bowl and the halftime show with Beyonce. Did you really find it necessary to mention in comments on the Super Bowl this year that you one time interviewed Beyonce?
Well, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that I've been in this business for a long time.
Right.
And the fact is that I was the first journalist to ever interview Destiny's Child.
Okay,
that's just a fact.
Okay, but does that matter to anyone?
Well,
yeah. How is that relevant at all?
I was telling a story about Beyonce, and I just thought I'd mention that I was the first person to interview Destiny's Child back in the day.
Okay, but isn't that, with all due respect, Mr. O'Brien, isn't that a way to say, hey, look at me, like my part in this story is more important than what I should be talking about, which is Beyonce's performance at the Super Bowl halftime?
Not at all. Just trying to make it personal for the listeners. That's all. It's like I was telling Colin Kaepernick when we were playing Mahjong yesterday.
I doubt that happened at all, Pat.
But I think it's important that you personalize your stuff. That's what radio's all about, fellas.
But you're
I'll tell you, you guys have been on the radio for a long time.
Right, but we don't name drop quite to the level that you do.
Well, I don't call it name drop. He's just personalizing the story. That's all.
Oh, I see. I see.
I was talking to Miley Cyrus the other day when we were hanging out at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
Right.
I don't think chai lattes. And I said to Miley, you know, a lot of people think I name drop. And she says, well, no, I remember you talking to Gaga, and you said that you didn't. And she's right. I mean, I don't believe that I do that at all.
I don't think you need to drop in all those celebrity names to be an interesting broadcaster.
I don't
Pat.
Think so either. Oh. I just, if I have something extra to add to the story, I do it. That's all. Taught me that?
Who? Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, when we were playing golf together. We played golf together, and Michael would say to me, you know, you don't talk about your personal life enough, Pat. And I said, well, maybe I'll talk about a story like this. You and me, MJ, playing a little golf.
But do you have any...
I beat him, by the way.
Do you have any personal stories
that... Shot 18 below par.
Do you have any personal stories that don't involve celebrities, though?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Do you have any non-famous friends, Pat?
Of course I do. In fact, I was telling Jessica Simpson the other day when I was asking about her baby. I told her, you know, my dentist, who's not famous at all, brought your name up. And well, we were talking about how we're looking forward to your new sitcom where you play yourself, basically.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if the kids are going to be on there. And she said, maybe. And I said, well, if they are, I'd like to be the first to interview them. If I could be the first one to interview your kids, I'd appreciate that.
Look, I just think there's so much great stuff going on in the world of sports, and you guys have a good show. There's plenty to talk about without you bringing up interviews that you did with people 15 years ago.
That's not why I do it.
I
do
it
just to personalize the news. It makes it a little bit more interesting, in my opinion. And, you know, Paul McCartney and I were jamming the other day. And
okay.
I said, Sir Paul, as I was playing keyboard for him. You know, I'm a hell of a keyboard player.
Are
you guys know that?
You did used to be in a band,
I was
recall.
In a band many years back in the 60s. While Paul was doing his Beatles thing, I was doing my thing. And so we were jamming together the other day with Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters. I said to him, you know, in order to make things more personal, I like to bring up my own life. And Paul said, well, you've had a hell of an interesting life, Pat O'Brien.
Did he say that?
He did.
Huh.
And I said, oh, I just want to do you. If you want to do me, just give me a look.
Okay, this just turned ugly now.
I didn't do that.
Because you're not drinking at all.
No, I got to handle my demons, not like that Lindsay Lohan. I told her
listen,
the other day,
Pat,
I said, Lindsay, trust me, from somebody who's been there.
You're not talking
you've
to any of these
You've
got to
get
people.
A hand of yourself, Lindsay.
You don't know any of these people,
Call
Pat.
Call me, Lindsay. I'll help you out. I wrote an open letter to Lindsay. I said, Lindsay, call me. Call
Thank
me, Lindsay.
Pat.
And if you want to do a three-way, just say, yeah.
Jonesy from Jonesy's Jukebox here on K-Rock. The legendary Steve Jones from Sex Pistols joins us in the 9 o'clock hour in studio. Got a brand new internet roundup for you coming up next. Lisa, were you saying there are roads closed as a result of this manhunt that's going on right now?
Yeah, they've got off the 15 freeway just south of the 91. There's the Magnolia off-ramps that have been closed down both directions all morning. And then there's some intersections in the same area that have been closed because of this manhunt that's been going on.
This guy's a cop.
This is bad news. Christopher Dorner, 33 years old, 270 pounds, 6 foot tall, African American, black hair, brown eyes. What's the deal on this guy from the last 2 days, Kevin?
He got fired.
He was a cop.
He was a cop and he got fired. And then I guess on this past Sunday night, a man and a woman were killed in a car in a parking lot.
In Irvine, yeah.
It turns out that was the son and daughter-in-law, I think in the future, of one of the guys on the board that fired him. And now they kind of tracked him down out in Riverside, and he shot a cop dead, and he injured another cop, and another bullet grazed a cop's head. And he's basically – he put out this long, rambling statement online, and he's basically declaring war on the police. It's unbelievable. And you know the signs on the freeways that say Amber Alert and all that kind of stuff? They put up, you know, the vehicle and the license plate and all that stuff, and the cops are looking for people to turn him in. So if you see –
And they are armed. They're out there. They are seriously armed.
Of course.
Yeah.
This guy is.
It makes sense. It's just got to be so weird to be like in that neighborhood going, what?
Yeah, no kidding. But if you see that or the car or the truck or anything, you know, that guy's vehicle, call the police and make
and then run
he's
away.
Driving, he's driving a blue or gray Nissan Titan pickup with a California license plate. A blue or gray Nissan Titan pickup with a California license plate. And you should call 911 if you see him or the vehicle immediately. And there's also a tip line that you can call if you just have any information about this guy. And we have that number here at K-Rock if you need it too. But yeah, he also tried to steal a boat. He also accosted a boat owner and tried to steal a boat and tied the guy up and everything like that. But then he couldn't get the boat going or something. An 81-year-old, he tried to steal a boat to go to Mexico in.
This dude's so, bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is definitely bad news. All right, so keep an eye open for that. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show, as I mentioned, Internet Roundup coming up. A couple of emails I wanted to mention just real quickly because we do get some great feedback from folks on the Facebook page and on our Twitters. And, of course, just regular good old-fashioned email, the Afroline. There's a lot of ways to contact the show. And a lot of times we'll have topics on the air and we don't have time to include your comments. So every once in a while we like to acknowledge them. We were talking about scams the other day. Remember Craigslist scams?
Oh, yeah.
A few days ago, my grandparents got the old grandparents scam happening to them. Some guy called, said he was me, he was in an accident, and he needed $900 to be able to pay for something. When my grandmother asked why he sounded different, he said that he had broken his nose. This guy had an answer for everything. Grandpa freaked out, went to the bank, pulled out $900 to send through MoneyGram. In the end, my dad got to him just in time to stop him from sending the money. Well, the guy actually called back later that day asking where the money was.
God, they got balls.
Wow. Can you believe that? My dad answered the phone that time and ripped the guy's ass in half verbally. Yes, that scam is still going around in 2013. I hear about this a couple times a year where some old person gets a phone call and they say it's a grandkid and they need money and please help. And apparently that does work, but that's awful. Dear Kevin and Bean, I heard this morning's broadcast about that knucklehead that injects himself daily with snake venom, and I pretty much had the same reaction to everybody there on the show. What a moron. So imagine my surprise when I came across this article today, titled which is Scientists Are Unlocking the Medical Potential of Venom.
I say let's wait for them.
yeah, exactly. Maybe snake venom isn't the one you want to take upon and do on yourself, right? Yeah. Maybe a snake bite will cure my burning hatred for slow-driving eco-holy Prius drivers infecting Southern California.
Hey.
Or maybe I can just – sorry, Lisa. Or maybe I can just drop a black mamba in their ride via the sunroof. Just to clarify, I mean drop an actual snake in to bite them, not Kobe Bryant to rape them. Well, that's just – that's inappropriate, Marcus, but thank you for the email.
We were talking about waiters and waitresses and what a difficult job that is and what kind of things they run across in a typical day. This guy writes, Rick writes, it didn't happen to me, but I saw it happen. While in Las Vegas, a guy ordered a beer from the bartender, paid cash, and received about 5 cents change, which he told the bartender to keep as a tip.
Change.
5 cents. Bartender nice. Got out of the bar and punched the guy in the face.
No kidding.
Guy got kicked out, too. Love it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 5 cents is not a tip, my friends. That's just you being too lazy to take a nickel back.
That's no, that's
that
worse
is.
Than nothing.
Yes.
I would imagine
it's
that's
a total
worse
insult.
Than, yeah.
We got a lot of reaction to Kevin proclaiming
I'm a great driver.
Proudly and seemingly without irony that he believes that the carpool lane is available for anyone, single driver or not. If you want to drive in the carpool lane, go ahead and drive in the carpool
lane,
says
say
Kevin.
That. I didn't say that at all. I said,
What did you say? I'm not trying to mischaracterize, but you said it's okay for you to drive in the carpool lane as a single person, right?
I said I've done it, and it's not okay, and I know I'm risking a ticket. I didn't understand your hatred of me going in the carpool lane because you're in regular traffic. I didn't understand that. But it's against the law, and I got a ticket for it, and I don't do it anymore. So
got a lot of reaction from that. Right. Christian writes in, Kevin probably thinks it's okay to park in a handicap spot, too. What a douche. But, hey, I'm not taking your parking spot. This one is, Bean, what's your deal with the carpool lane, man? I park in the handicap space so I don't take up regular space. I go to the 10 items or less line when I have 30 items so I don't clog up the regular lines. And I cut to the front of the lines everywhere so I'm not adding to the congestion. Signed, Dicks Anywhere.
Guy's got a point.
Just a couple
He's
of
He's on my side, right or no?
I think he is. I think he likes you. Dear Kevin, Bean, and Ralph, and Lisa, I've been a loyal listener for over a dozen years, and comedy on your show is like searching for a UFO. You can tell people all you want it's there, but you can't ever get them to believe you.
Aww.
Well, today, this is in reference to yesterday's show, after listening to the final showbiz beat of the day where the wheels came off, I felt vindicated. I was listening in the car with my coworkers. I couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing so hard I had to pull over to the side of the road because tears were in my eyes. Your faithful listener, the Fonz. Yeah, everything was going wrong. I was mixed up on the stories that Ralph was talking about, and we were playing the wrong audio.
All hell broke loose.
Yeah, it was a disaster. It was some of the worst radio you ever hear, but we did get this new moment with out of the exchange.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Beer mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes.
Wow.
That was a moment with Bean.
Oh. Beer mug has never been so happy.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome. I'm gonna talk some trash. I wish they would really stop it. I'm wanting, wishing they would shut up. This show's awful.
Yo, turn up Karaoke. And what I hear is whack. Two goofy white boys just talking all their smack. Yo. One's always slurring, sounding like an owl. Yeah. People like, damn, those are two white honkies. One's like, I only write with a certain ink of color. Mm. I'll cut my right ball off if I could save a dollar. Mine a wash a toss up, what the hell does that even mean? Yeah. Why do you even listen to this show with Kevin and Bean?
Hey.
It sucks.
Ha! It's not even worth 99 cents!
Don't get caught in it, listen to it. I can't believe they're on FM, but please don't ever tune in, cause one's an Asperger's having.
Fool.
And the other one's saying,
are you a Duck fan, long time him?
So now you have all the proof you need, so please stop listening.
I'm gonna talk some trash. I wish they would really stop it. I'm wanting, wishing they would shut up. This show's enough.
Oh, the original version of this song sucks, yeah!
Either. Is that the remix? What's going on there? Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Young the Giant coming up. Also, Madness. We got Passion Pit, Chili Peppers, and our special guest, Jonesy himself, will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, though, it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to KevinandBean.com if you would like to see all these videos in one place. There is the Nut Kick Challenge.
Oh, boy.
The Nut Kick Challenge.
That doesn't sound good.
60 seconds and a continuous stream of people kicking this dude in the nuts.
Why do people do that?
I don't know if they watched Jackass and thought it looked funny or what, but it doesn't look fun for the dude that's taking it.
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
Go!
I'm not happy with that chick in the background that's counting.
One!
She's so excited. 60 Dude, seconds.
Sixty seconds is like 60 years when you're being kicked in the nuts, right?
Yeah, no question. That guy must not have junk. Real-life horse with Dave Franco and DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan, of course, from the Clippers. Dave Franco is James Franco's brother, who was in Warm Bodies and is having quite a career for himself. They're playing real-life horse, and basically they rap and they do all kinds of different events.
All right, Davey, your hair's kind of wavy. My favorite Ryan Reynolds flick is definitely Maybe.
Yeah, it turns out James won that particular round. Conan takes a look at the Budweiser Clydesdale ad during the Super Bowl. Remember that one? That everybody was like,
"Oh, it made me cry."
It's the best. It's the best dad.
He raised the horse, and then he gave it to the Clydesdales, and then he went to sea, and it came
3 years later, it remembered him. It was a love story.
Oh, it's so sweet. Conan showed us what really happened when the horse finally turned around and came back to meet his previous owner.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is two cops jump right in front of the previous owner.
Now, that obviously wasn't the real Clydesdale ad. This was the real one.
Chicago Police Department Runaway Clydesdale Division, protecting citizens since 1893.
Why does everything have to be ugly, Conan? Come on.
So mean.
I like the original on TV better.
So, you know the blackout at the Super Bowl, the 34 minutes of downtime when
yes.
the lights went out?
Yes.
This is from Funny or Die. Bane from Batman was behind it. And
well, sure he was.
He pulls the wires out so that the electricity goes out, and then he tries to make an announcement on the big screen. And you can see Bane on the big screen, but his microphone doesn't seem to be working.
Half the power in the Superdome here is out.
We all set. Is this thing on? I don't know if they can hear me.
And now it's well lit. There's no danger. No one's injured.
The same system that controls the lights also controls the sound system? Oh, the light!
The players are milling around.
15 more minutes. Did you see Beyonce? I thought she was great. Best halftime show I've seen since Prince.
It's really, really well done. Very funny. You remember Kai, the homeless hitchhiker with a hatchet?
Mm-hmm. Smash, smash, smash. Of course I do.
That guy's been auto-tuned
by
the Gregory Brothers.
So I wear it up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash. Yeah, yeah. If he turned around that car again, there'd be a hell of a lot of bodies around here. Dude, that guy would love to hook out. He'd snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I started smashing him in the head. Smash, smash, smash.
Video, of course, matches, which is amazing.
I hope somebody hires Kai to do commentary on all news events. I would love to see his take on just every story because I love the way he tells the story.
This is Terry Crews, an actor you would recognize.
From The Expendables.
From The Expendables, right? This is Jerome Mayberry's Ten Commandments, and this is basically him telling you how to lift weights.
What are you doing warming up? We don't warm up. Did I ever say anything about a warm up? Ain't no such thing as a muscle pull, player. No such thing. All right? It's just a muscle that wasn't ready. Teach you not to be ready when I want to work out.
I love the slow jazz sex music he's got going in the background. Here's a Super Bowl reporter in New Orleans. Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You go to kevinandbean.com. Super Bowl reporter in New Orleans on, it looks like, down where all the beads are happening and all that.
Oh, right.
French Quarter. And a woman walks up and just interrupts her. And she, on the spot, changes the story from the Super Bowl crazy people to an STD report just to embarrass this woman.
Yeah, she's so ticked off that this drunk tourist walked into her shot that she's going to give her a what for.
Is the people walking around with this glazed look in their eyes and just stumbling.
Hey.
Like this one behind me. Hi, yes. How are you doing?
California.
Oh, very nice to meet you. You know,
49ers.
You're going to do an interview with us?
So she smashed this woman.
Yeah.
Totally.
Talking about the 49ers. And this is where the anchor turns it on her and says, you want to do an interview with us? And she says,
sure.
Okay, because we were just talking about here along Bourbon Street and the STD rate that's been going on here. And so how long have you had an STD?
I don't have an STD.
Oh, then why did you want to talk?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Are you serious?
You're going to be ashamed of, aren't you?
No, I don't have an STD. That's
oh, okay. Okay.
Oh my
yes. Anyway, so I've been taking care of that in my own little way.
Wow.
Yep. Look, I get that this reporter is out on Bourbon Street for a whole week doing Super Bowl coverage, and she's had an ass full of drunk people walking into her shots. I totally get that. Still completely uncalled for.
Oh, no way. Completely uncalled for.
That was great.
I give her a bonus.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not cool, dude.
Cool.
People enjoyed that.
It was a dumbass woman who was way drunk just walking into a TV shot. F her. Did the right thing. Jimmy Kimmel's This Week, live this week in Unnecessary Censorship. This is a little clip from President Obama and Hillary Clinton.
We're going to have an open discussion. We're going to each other hard.
I didn't realize that.
Wow.
You can see that along with all the other videos. It's Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Jonesy's not going to kick our ass or anything. He likes us, right?
He likes me.
We're cool. We're cool, though, right? He's kind of a scary dude. That's all I'm saying.
He's not anything good about you two. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, he joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Very excited about that. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
If you like, I can put in a good word for you.
Please do.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Let's see what I can do. Because we talk the same language, you know.
You do.
Literally.
That's true.
Yes. This is a miracle. We have a miracle, people.
What's a miracle? Fantastic.
Honey Boo Boo's mom, June, Mama June, has lost over 100 pounds.
Yay!
In the last 2 years, she says.
100 pounds?
Yeah. She said she slimmed down from 365 pounds, which was at her height, all the way down to a svelte 263 pounds.
She saw her.
5'1", not that it makes much difference.
Wow.
No, I don't know how tall she is, but.
I saw her all the way through the Thanksgiving episode,
mm-hmm.
and she was still enormous. So I don't know when she started losing all this weight.
She said over the past 2 years.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
Right. She says, I haven't done any surgeries. I haven't done any surgeries.
Well, no one asked her if she's performed any.
I haven't done any surgeries. Ugh. No diet pills, never went to the gym.
That's weird.
And that's so proud of that.
That is the Mama June diet.
Yes,
you know what?
Is.
I'm following that diet as we speak. No surgery, no diet, no gym diet.
She sounds fat.
She said, I've just been more active. They have me running around and going different places. I guess it's paying off. She said she insists she hasn't cut back on any of the foods her family loves. She says she still eats ramen noodles, cheese puffs, and of course, sketty.
I'll tell you, the first way of dealing with your fat is admitting it.
She loves sketty.
She does love sketty.
Hey, fatty! You are fat!
While we're talking about the world of reality television, Buck Wild's coming back to MTV for a second season. They have renewed it. Oh, I can't wait to see what Shane hijinks he gets into this season.
It's going to involve mudding.
I bet his truck
drinking.
Blowed up. I bet he blowed up another truck.
Bet he did.
I think they're in trouble, quite frankly, for the second season because they've already had every sexual permutation they can amongst those six, seven people. They've all slept with each other at this point. Where do you go from here?
Hitchhikers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Farm animals?
Yeah.
Could be. That's where they started, by the way. And more reality show news. ABC has greenlit a new reality show called Who Done It?
Who Done It?
It will take 13 amateur sleuths, this is in their words, against each other trying to solve mysteries committed by one of their own. Hey, you know what this is? This is one of those murder mystery dinner parties. That's what
right.
it is
it's
on
not
television.
A TV show. That aren't fun.
That aren't fun. And now
That's
it's going to be not
idea.
Fun on television. So 13 people who are going to be in a room with each other, they have to figure out who did some fictional crime.
That's a terrible idea.
Those things are barely tolerable when you're doing them yourself.
Yeah. And you have food and drink.
Right.
To distract you.
They're out. They're out of ideas.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Well, yes, I do, actually. Kevin, I want to say goodbye to Stuart Freeborn. He passed away yesterday. Legendary makeup artist and special effects artist. He died at the age of 98 years old. He is probably best known for his work with George Lucas in the Star Wars films. Created Chewbacca, and
wow.
then after that, Yoda.
That's wow. pretty good.
That is pretty strong. There's two nice characters to leave behind. They will live on forever. Lucas said he brought with him not only decades of experience, but boundless creative energy. His artistry and craftsmanship will live on forever in the characters he created, and that's for sure.
They were talking about him a lot yesterday, Ralph. He did a bunch of the 2001 A Space Odyssey, like the monkeys and stuff, too.
Yep.
Was that him?
Yep, he did all that stuff for Kubrick. I mean, he had been working in the business, mostly in the UK, but all over the world for decades before Lucas even tapped him. But he knew he was the guy for him, and he made those memorable creations.
It's crazy how young George Lucas was when he made those Star Wars movies, too. Wasn't he like in his late 20s or something like that? And
yeah.
This Stuart Freeborn guy
said... The good ones or the bad ones?
The good ones, the originals.
Okay. Yeah.
This Stuart Freeborn, I saw interviews yesterday, he was like, yeah, he didn't really... I didn't know that he knew what he was doing, but he just seemed so earnest about it, I thought I'd give it a shot, you know, because he was a no-name, and it was just another B-movie to him, but he thought, it might be good, I'll roll the dice and take the job.
They recently, on one of these... auction collectibles reality shows I watch. This is Hollywood Treasures.
Right.
They recently auctioned off the original Yoda puppet that he built.
No kidding.
The original sculpt of the face and everything, the sort of the working model they used to base everything else on. They just auctioned that off for
yep.
a lot of money. So, 98 years old, pretty good run. Today's celebrity birthdays, James Spader's 53 years old today. Garth Brooks turns 51, as does Eddie Izzard. Chris Rock's 48. Sully Erna of Godsmack is 45. Steve Nash of your Los Angeles Lakers is 39. Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit's 38. Tom Blankenship, bassist for My Morning Jacket's 35. And Ashton Kutcher from That 70s Show, of course, Two and a Half Men, and from That Jacuzzi in San Diego that ended his marriage. He is 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Augustine Salazar from Paramount, by the way, is going to be seeing that band tomorrow night at the K-Rock pre-Grammy party at LA Live. I think we have a couple more chances today, and then tomorrow morning is your last chance here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, rock and roll royalty in the house, by the way. Steve Jones, yeah! Jonesy from Jonesy's Jukebox, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member from the Sex Pistols, joins us in studio right now. Jonesy, how have you been, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good to see you again. When you do your show on Sunday nights, I should know this, but do you do it live or is that pre-recorded?
No, I do it live.
Oh, okay, so we don't have to worry about your potty mouth.
No. I'm pretty good with that.
Well, it's great to see you. You've been busy. It seems like you've been, you know, except for your Sunday night show, to my ears, you've been kind of low profile. But now, all of a sudden, everybody wants you on television.
Yeah, I did the Californication last season. I'm in about 4 or 5 episodes, I believe. And that was a lot of fun.
Did they contact you and just say we want... You specifically, or did you contact them, or how
I don't know how to contact people. I'm not one
of them. You don't know how to?
Well, I'm not one of them guys, you know.
Right.
I mean, acting's great and all that, but I'm not, I don't go to cattle calls and all that.
Right.
I just, not that I think I'm above it, I just can't do it, you know. But the good thing is, you know, there's a lot of people in powerful places now, like... The Sex Pistols.
Yeah, true.
So I think
right,
that helps,
right.
you know.
That's true.
And plus so, I was on Portlandia. I think that's how I got the California occasion. I did a cameo on Portlandia.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
With
I like that show.
Yeah, and I think someone saw that and said, oh, he'd be good at doing blah, blah, blah. That's how
and
it
this
works.
Is how it explodes. You're going to be a movie star in like
yeah.
2 years.
So if somebody wants Steve Jones, they call you and they ask you to do it, but you're not out there looking for roles on television.
No, I've never been that person.
And how much acting have you done? I mean, before very recently, is this something you've been doing on and off for a long time?
Bits and pieces here and there. What else did I do? There was a few. I bet I was on Roseanne once.
I would not have guessed
that's
that.
That's a strange fit.
As yourself, or
yeah, I was playing a psycho guy.
So it was
so
yourself.
Automatic.
A little bit. I'm really not. I'm really a teddy bear, really.
You had never seen Californication, but they called you and they said, we need you to be this, you know, this flamboyant rock and roll roadie, basically, right?
Well, give me a bit more credit.
Manager. That's what he meant.
Manager. Okay,
roadie.
Manager. Okay. Okay.
They're the lowest of the
low. Sorry, didn't mean to insult you.
Oh, well, actually, that's not the correct word anymore. It's something technician, isn't it? Now,
is that right? They have a higher name to make it sound better?
Yeah, you know, like road sweepers used to be called road sweepers. Now they're like cleaning technicians.
Right, right, sure. Right. But they're still, it's still
the same. They're roadies. Road filth.
Right. The guy who picks up my trash is a waste management engineer. So,
exactly.
That's totally what you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
Were you at all familiar with Dave Duchovny? Were you a fan of his?
I got to be honest. I never saw
X-Files?
Yeah, I never saw that. I don't watch a lot of TV, to be honest with you.
Unless it's soccer, I understand.
Soccer, the Military Channel, and Discovery here and there, and a couple of cable things. That's it.
Who's your soccer team?
Chelsea,
yeah.
Yeah, they're not doing great.
No, they're not.
But I'll tell you, it was good yesterday. It was England and Brazil. They had a friendly.
Yeah.
England looked really – they looked really good. They got a whole new young thing they actually played. They beat them 2-1. They beat Brazil 2-1.
Beat Brazil, yeah. That's crazy.
Nice. Yeah. Californication, of course, airs on Showtime on Sunday nights. We've seen the first episode. You say you have 3 more coming up. I want to play a clip of Steve Jones. And by the way – I mean, you're either a great actor or you're just being you, because this sounds exactly like you.
But here's the scene: is a rock star has died. He's played by it was Sebastian Bach who plays him, right?
The dead rock star, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Kevin, I don't know if you've seen this episode or not.
I haven't yet.
This is the best new thing in funerals. They have a hologram of Sebastian Bach who gets up and addresses the people who shows up at his funeral. We
That's
need that
awesome.
To start happening, right?
Yes, that's awesome.
So the woman that he was the woman that he was seeing on the side wants to crash the funeral basically and is trying to get into the roped off funeral because there are a lot of celebrities there because this is a big rock star who's died. And Jonesy's character is going to help her get behind the velvet rope. And he's basically dressing down the guy who's trying to keep her out. And here's a clip of that from Californication.
OK, you know what? Move it along, Groupie, and take him with you.
You watch your tongue, filthy mongrel. This is faith. All right. Have a look and grasp the cosmic importance of this lovely young lady. Without her, there'd be no rock and roll. Get it? Got it? Good enough, off, Fatty.
Oh, come here. Mwah. Thank you. You're the best.
Anything for you, love.
How about that, huh?
I see Grammy. I mean, Emmy. Emmy, Oscar. Whatever it is.
Oscar. Emmy, whatever it is.
For your consideration.
That was super good. Now, how do they keep, without giving anything away, how do they keep you in the plot line? Because I thought, well, Jonesy's there because he's at this funeral. But how do you stay in the storyline now that that's over?
Well, I'm the other rock star. Who's Tim Minchin.
Tim Minchin, who's phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
I'm his tour manager.
Ah, great.
So as long as he's in it, I'm in it.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Very cool.
I love that Tim Minchin. We've had him on the show a couple times before, and he played April Foolishness for us last year. He's a hilarious comedian who started out as a musician, and I think this role is just going to blow him wide open. I think people are going to fall in love with this dude when they see him on that show.
Yeah, he's good. He's quick. He was really good. He was a real pro as well.
Yeah. Californication airs Sunday nights at 10:30 on Showtime. Steve Jones in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He also is going to be live on FX tonight. We'll tell you what that's all about when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Steve Jones from Jonesy's Jukebox, Sunday nights here on K-Rock from 7 till 9, which is an outstanding show, by the way, that you should check out if you love music, especially new music. He also is a recurring character on Californication this season. And starting tonight, I'm going to see you on FX doing what, Jonesy?
Well, with Russell Brand, I'm the kind of musical guy I play. I'm like the Ed McMahon with an axe, put it that way. You know, like I play.
Oh, okay, so you're like a sidekick slash music.
Yeah.
So you'd be Paul Schaefer to David Letterman, basically.
Kind of.
Good way to
sell it. He doesn't like that. Doesn't like that at all.
It doesn't sound like you know what you're doing yet, do you?
Well, I know I'm playing guitar in and out of commercials.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And
then what about is there talk between you two?
There's a bit of banter.
Okay. All
you
right.
know, tonight is the first one, and it's live.
It's an hour and it's live.
Yeah. And it's on.
What could go wrong?
Oh, nothing.
Does that make you at all nervous? I imagine nothing does at this point. But.
No, I mean, it does because when it's live, I mean, I like the fact that it's live because when it's done, it's done.
Right.
There's no going back and tweaking it and all that. But it could all fall apart as well. So there's always that element that you...
Doesn't make it more fun for the viewer, though.
Oh, yeah, of course, if it's a train wreck, that's what people, I think, really enjoy more than anything.
Sure. Yeah. Now, yeah. How well do you know Russell Brand?
Not that well. I mean, I've met him a few times in the past. I went on his show.
You were on Brand X?
Yeah, okay. A couple of months ago. And people seemed to respond to our chemistry. And I put it to him. I said, I should come on and be your music guy. Play, as opposed to having a band, I'll just play electric guitar and play riffs, you know?
And who's going to tell you no?
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't.
Now I'm fascinated. Look, I'm in. You got me. But it's an interesting mix. He's so hyper and high energy and all over the place and off the walls, and you're not.
Well, I think that's what works.
Yeah.
You can be that way too.
Is ADD? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you know in advance? Are there certain topics or stories or guests that he's going to ask your input on or your participation enough?
No, I think he just wings it.
That's the way to do great television.
You know, I mean,
in for quite a ride.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Me either. Speaking of,
that's tonight at 11:30 or 8:30, depending on your cable or satellite system on FX. It's the season 2 premiere of Brand X. You are playing guitar on the TV tonight. Do you still play guitar regularly, Steve?
Yeah, when I'm at home, I'm always playing with myself.
But I'm asking about guitar,
And sometimes guitar.
Yeah. And the reason I ask is, what do you do with all that? I mean, you've been a musician since you were a teenager. Do you still write songs? Do you still hear things and go, I want to lay that down and record it? Because you certainly don't make records.
No, I always have riffs and stuff coming to my head and ideas, but I just put it on the old iPhone. It's easy just to – you can do everything with the iPhone.
Yeah. Right. But then does it – you don't have any desire to turn it into anything more?
I'm getting somewhat wanting to do like a solo record.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I've done a couple in the past. It's a labor of love that in this day and age.
Right.
You know, you're never going to sell any records.
Right.
It's got to be just something that you love doing, you know.
But I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. But these days, if you had an idea for a song, you could record that and just put it up on your website and people could get it and dig it and love it. You'd get at least some feedback. At least you'd be putting it out there for people to hear.
Yeah, just put it out on YouTube or something.
As it is right now, we have to steal your iPhone.
I know.
No? I mean, you have tons of friends who are musicians that you've made over the years, right? I know that for a fact. There's a lot of friends. I just thought, and I don't know anything about being a musician, but I just thought it would be natural that you'd want to get together and play and jam with one another and, hey, let's write a song. And it just seems like that would always be the process.
Yeah, it does, but it's kind of a pain as well.
Is it?
You know.
You're awesome. It's kind of a pain as well.
Of course. But you have – I guess we're looking at it from guys who don't have the talent. We can't go in and make great rock music. You can. It seems kind of weird to us that you're not.
But that's always the way. It's like women who want to be pregnant, who want to have kids, can never have them.
Yeah.
And you get crackheads, you knock them out all day long.
Yeah, that's true.
It's I don't know. I don't know. I mean, is that a weird analogy?
So you're the crackhead?
No, not at all. Right. No, not at all. But
you're the crackhead? You're not the crackhead. I'm confused.
Ex-crackhead.
So guitar tonight on TV, and then you may get fired, right? That could be it. It could be a one-time deal, depending on how it goes.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
Anything's
possible.
Or it could
be a permanent gig for the rest of your life. So
or,
is the plan...
Or I could have my own show. They could see the magnificence and say, you know what? Give him his show.
There you go.
Is the plan right now, what you're hoping is it'll go well tonight, and you'll be back, and you'll do it every week with Russell? It'll be a regular gig?
Yeah. It's every Thursday.
Okay.
And It's live, but Eastern.
Live, okay, so 11:30 Eastern.
Yeah, we're filming it at 8:30 for New York.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay, gotcha. So, all right. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see how it goes. It sounds like fun. Do you know who your guests are tonight?
I don't, actually.
You're not on
course
the show,
not.
Are you?
I don't.
You're not really.
Ralph is doing it for me.
You might as well. Just send Ralph on in there. People won't know.
I'm so glad that you find Ralph's impression funny.
Yeah. do you think he sounds like me? He's not quite there. I can tell.
He sounds exactly like
you. Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes you – he exaggerates you some.
Yeah. Where is he? He was out. I saw him outside
having a cigarette.
Having a puff.
Hey, Ralph, you in there? Jonesy's asking for you.
I was telling him he needs to quit.
He needs to quit smoking?
I went to a hypnotist. I've been off cigarettes for 13 years.
You went to a hypnotist and it worked?
Yeah.
The hypnotism is what helped you quit smoking?
Well, yeah, I guess it did. That's what I did.
That's all you did, though, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. And I never quit before. I'd been smoking.
Never quit before. And then I saw a hypnotist. And then for 13 years now, I've been off them.
I think I should do a hypnotism on you right now.
I think you should.
Well, yeah. You ready?
Hey.
Okay.
All right.
You're in an elevator.
I'm in an elevator.
We're going down.
Going down.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Okay. Now you are going to stop smoking, Ralph.
Yeah.
All right?
I don't think so.
It didn't work?
Not at all.
All right, give me my money back.
Now, how do I get up this bloody elevator?
You know, you stink of cigarettes. You just come in here, brought a waft in with you.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you're going down.
That's all you have
no,
to
I'm
do.
No, I'm not, big boy.
Look, he likes you, but not that much.
Yeah,
come
really.
On.
I know. You're rocking right. Royalty and all, but
Jones,
I'm not Cameron Diaz, for God's sake.
Sunday nights on K-Rock Californication. Sunday nights on Showtime. Brand X Season 2 premieres tonight on FX. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Jones.
Thank you.
You do a lot of voices, Ralph. You don't usually have to do them in front of the person.
No, I usually don't.
But Jonesy's cool.
George's the coolest.
Yeah.
He's the coolest. Yeah. Absolutely the coolest. So much fun to have that dude in. All right. It's, as you mentioned, 941. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
This story makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
But I'm getting demands from people saying, why haven't you talked about this? Why haven't you talked about this? So I have to address it. All right. Although I have to admit, it makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
In ordinary circumstances, it would not. But in this case, it does. I wonder why. Let's explore it. Dakota Fanning, newly 18 years old, is talking about her new nude scene in her upcoming film, Very Good Girls. She will be nude for the first time on film. The movie comes out later this year. Follows Dakota Fanning and Elizabeth Olsen as two best friends who, fresh out of high school, are determined to lose their virginity.
Oh my God, really?
And
I mean, even though she's 18, that's still cutting it kind of close for some people. Well, is that the problem
here? Some actresses, the minute they turn 18, I'd be like, I'm in, let's do this.
Right, but
with Dakota Fanning, it's like, it's almost like, it's like your little sister or
because you knew her when she was a little girl.
And she was always such a sweet little precocious kid who had so much going on. And now I don't think I can even enjoy this.
She seems too young for you to want to see as a woman.
Yeah,
I think she always will. Yes. I mean, my relationship with her began when she was a tiny, tiny little girl.
Right.
And now I don't think I have those sort of lustful feelings. I don't care if she's 18 or not. It just bugs me. It just makes me uncomfortable. And usually I'm the first guy, like celebrity nudity. Yeah, count me in. I'm not like Bean's obsessive Mr. Skin thing going on. But, you know, if there's an attractive actress on screen in various stages of disrobing, I'm usually on board, but this one bugs
I'm
me.
I'm about to get a copy of that.
And there's a guy who keeps emailing saying, you're not talking about the Dakota Fanning getting nude story. And so now I've acquiesced, and here I am, and I feel dirtier for having covered it.
When is this happening?
Easy.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I bet you are.
When is it?
Pull your pants up, Kevin.
I'm just asking.
That's
when it's happening.
Right out of order.
Did you know I had this much?
When's it happening?
It's happening later this year. I don't have the exact release date here, but sometime later this year.
Yeah.
So, we'll wait.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Good news. Porn legend Ron Jeremy is talking, making jokes, giving interviews. It seems like he is back on the road to recovery. TMZ Live talked to him from Cedars-Sinai, and they say he sounded a little tired, but was in the great mood, cracking jokes. He even described how his hospital room has given him inspiration and how he would direct a porn scene in that hospital room. Ron says several hospital employees have stopped by asking for his autograph already.
Is he still working in the adult film industry?
Yes.
He is. Still making movies.
Oh, yes. He was just in a recent Dark Knight Rises XXX parody where he played the Penguin, which is appropriate casting.
Yeah.
Ron says his aneurysm, he had to have two operations to fix that problem, was caused by his being overweight, but also his high blood pressure. Just, you know, aneurysm is just a weakening and a bulge in a vein or artery that is in danger of rupturing. Mm. And doctors say to him, if he had waited any longer than he did to see the doctor, he would be dead. He drove himself to the hospital, you know, as that aneurysm was starting to bleed. So it was just a matter, really shaving just matters of moments off of his life.
I wonder if what pulled him through was knowing that he was going to see Dakota Fanning naked later
this year. Told you.
Like Kevin.
All
right, Uncle Creepy, take it easy.
Yeah, Uncle Creepy. And, talk about your creepy. Story today breaking that rumors of the Justin Bieber-Rihanna affair. Two of them having an affair in 2011.
Nine!
No.
That's what caused the schism in the relationship between Justin Bieber and his girlfriend Selena Gomez.
Bitchin'.
He allegedly cheated on Selena Gomez in 2011 with Rihanna when he was 17 years old and she was 22.
Well, she makes terrible choices with men.
Right, so that's why it wouldn't surprise me if it actually happens. Because she is not smart when it comes to where she gets her...
But you're stretching the
lovin'. Her lovin'.
Stretching the word men there a lot.
I know. Maybe it's a fame thing. Maybe all famous people just want to bang each other. They sure seem to hook up a lot. And this is a great story. Kris Jenner, who really, I just think, is the the hub of the evil wheel that is the Kardashian clan.
Agreed.
I think had those girls been left alone, maybe they would just go about their business being shallow and vapid and attention whores. But they would have done it, in the privacy of their own lives. But now being exposed to the world, it's created a hunger in them that seems to be insatiable. And her ex-husband, Robert Kardashian, when he passed away, was married to a woman named Ellen. She has sold his journals to the tabloid magazine In Touch. So they're publishing excerpts from his journals, including a psychological evaluation that was taken during the time of his divorce with Kris Jenner. A 6-page report, according to In Touch, describes Kris, and this is a psychologist speaking, as demanding, manipulative, and having a Cinderella attitude where situations resulted in everyone living happily ever after.
Yeah!
Narcissistic.
That's hot.
Narcissistic with a marked elevation of the narcissistic scale. So she's on the high end of narcissism.
Wow.
Kris believes she is a good mother, and her sense of self is based much more on fantasy than realistic consideration, said the doctor. So, everything we always suspected seems to be true, and now it's science. Science!
Science.
Science! And in more science celebrity news, Charlie Sheen says he knows what caused his meltdown in 2011.
Drugs?
No, Kevin. It wasn't the booze, it wasn't the cocaine, it wasn't the pills, it wasn't the porn stars. It was his testosterone cream.
What?
Yeah, he thinks he had a bad reaction to testosterone cream. I think I was doing too much testosterone cream, he told Katie Couric in an interview. I think it metabolized it becomes a steroid. I think it was a bit of roid rage.
So it wasn't his fault.
That's the only thing I can point to explain it.
Right.
It sure went on for a long time.
It's just roid rage, man.
Right. Not buying it.
Come on. He had tiger blood in him. He couldn't help it.
He did. That's true.
He had jet fuel. He was a Nevadican assassin. What do you want from the guy?
I am... Look, I don't watch his TV show, but I think he is a talented actor. And I am very excited to see him in this film that's opening up tomorrow. This Charles Schwann. It looks really, really good.
Well.
This could be a little bit of a comeback for
crazy.
Him.
Roman Coppola's a good director. Maybe he can get a performance out of him.
Yeah.
And lastly, the lawsuit against John Travolta that was filed by a cruise ship steward who claimed that Travolta came on to him while he was on a cruise ship that he was working on has been mysteriously dropped.
The lawsuit's been dropped.
Guy's name was Fabian Zanzi. He worked on a cruise ship where Travolta was a guest and said that when he was attending to the actor's cabin, John Travolta disrobed and offered him money for a massage, followed by uninvited kisses on his neck and a naked embrace. He was suing, and no one knows why the lawsuit was suddenly dropped. However, there is an item in blindgossip.com. You know what a blind item is in a gossip column? It's when they just tell you the story, but they don't name any names.
Ah.
It keeps them out of the Dutch when it comes to legal issues and stuff. And that's the game you play is you try to guess who they're talking about. Here's the recent item from blindgossip.com. A $1.75 million payoff has been arranged between an actor and his plaintiff regarding a pending lawsuit.
And that's all it
said?
That's
alleged.
All it says. So we're not sure if it's Travolta and Zanzi, but...
That would make sense.
Listen.
But how do you know?
For $1.75 million, John, anytime, any place, just meet me in a room and I will turn you down for sex and then you can write me a check. How about, can we make a deal? Can we work that out?
Naked embrace?
Naked, whatever it takes. Naked embrace, uninvited kisses on the neck, 1.75. You might get more from me than you would get from the cruise ship steward for 1.75.
That's the going rate. It sure seemed like all those stories, as Kevin mentioned earlier, there were 3 or 4 of them, one right after another, and it looked like Travolta's reputation was really in trouble, but all of that just kind of dissipated and went away, and time has gone on, and nobody even thinks about it anymore.
I mean, will I think do a new duet of Summer Lovin' with John Travolta for $1.75 million.
It's good to be a member of a church.
I'll play Sandy. I don't care. I'll put on the spandex pants, the blonde wig, whatever you need, John. Grease lightning. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
What? Wait, it's so weird. Today's celebrity birthday is James Spader's 53 years old today. Garth Brooks turns 51, as does Eddie Izzard. Is there a guy more of a Renaissance man than Eddie Izzard?
No.
Who flies around the world performing comedy concerts in the native language of the country he lands in, and he runs 24 marathons in 24 days.
It's a little annoying.
He's like...
slow down.
He's like Buckaroo Banzai or somebody. Just a guy who can just do everything all the time. It's uncanny.
And I believe him when he says he's going to run for and become the mayor of London at some point,
too. Of course he will. He can do whatever he wants. Chris Rock's 48 years old. Sully Erna of Godsmack is 45. Lakers guard Steve Nash celebrates his 39th birthday. Is he one of the ones who's playing now?
Steve I believe Nash? He is, yes. He's I currently he's playing. The only one.
That's good. Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit is 38. Tom Blankenship, bassist for My Morning Jacket, is 35. And Ashton Kutcher's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we have the movie beat. We are going to talk to Randall Roberts, who is an L.A. Times music critic, about the Grammys that are happening this Sunday night. We have LaQuisha with a look at Buck Wild. She's very excited. And we have comedian Jim Jefferies. This time we mean
it. Oh, no. Sure. He'll come in.
Tomorrow.
He's coming up with Jimmy Fallon?
Tomorrow he's going to come in. And we mean it on an all-new Kevin and Bean.